Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Shira at the Young Israel of Woodmere. This week's parsha is Parshas Yisro. Thank you to everyone for joining on Zoom. Thank you for joining in person. So I'm going to speak about the fifth Dibra today. Okay, this week's parsha, of course, Parshas Yisro and Perek Yirchas. Yisro comes to the Israelite encampment in the desert, and he gives Moshe advice that you cannot do this alone. You must set up lower judges. Perek Yud Tes is the prelude to Matan Torah. And Perek Chof is the Aseres Hadibros and the giving of the Torah. Yisro and Mishpatim really go hand in hand and complement each other, whereas Yisro is the grand revelation. Mishpatim next week are the laws and how we live our lives, the myriad of observances as related to Matan Torah, Chof Aleph, Chof Beza, Chof Gimel. And then Perek Chof Dalet in next week's parsha resumes the narrative at Sinai. So the first four Dibros are, I am the Lord your God, you shall, who took you out of Egypt, from the land of slavery. That's number one. Number two, you shall not have gods of others before me. Number three, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Number four is Zachar Asyam HaShabbos HaKadshel, Zachar and Shamar. Remember and guard the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Zachar in our parsha, and Shamar in Parshas Va'aschanan. And then we come to the fifth Dibra, one pasuk long, Parachaf, pasuk Yod Beis. Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, lama'an ya'arichun yamecha, so your days will be lengthened, al ha'adama, upon the land, asher Hashem Elokech hanoseinach, that Hashem, your God, gives you. This is the fifth of the Aseres Hadibros, what we know as Kibud Avaim. We have a mitzvah to be mechabed, to honor the father and mother, to give them food, give them drink, take them in, take them out, help them with dressing and shoes, and yireh, ish ivmo v'aviv tira'u v'eshab. So say Tishmu, the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, a man shall revere his father and his mother, and that includes not contradicting the parent, not speaking in their place, not sitting in their seat, etc. So this is the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. I want to dedicate this class to Arichos Yamim and Shanim, to my parents and my in-laws. They should live and be well, to have much health and nachas from their families and their tza'etza'im, admeyev eshim shana, in good health. So I'll just begin by quoting a vignette from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, a number of small stories regarding Kibbutz Avaim. I've recommended this book, if you haven't read it, Rav Aaron Leib, the biography by Art School, one of my favorites. So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, when bar mitzvah boys asked Rav Aaron Leib, what kabbalah, what resolution they should take upon themselves for their bar mitzvah, Rav Aaron Leib usually suggested working on two traits. One, honoring their parents, and two, saying the truth, only the truth. In regard to Kibbutz Avaim, honoring their parents, besides for the fact that it teaches Hakar Satov, the recognition of good for everything that our parents give and do for us, it is also good, Rav Aaron Leib felt, that one must learn to listen to others, and at times make one's desires subservient to a higher being, a higher authority, which is really, of course, our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, our Avinu Malkeinu, our Father in Heaven. We must learn, A, to have a Kar Satov vis-a-vis our Father in Heaven, and B, to subordinate our will to the Ratzon of Hashem. In regard to the second Kabbalah that he suggested, telling the truth, he stressed, although it sounds easy to do, it is a trait that is very difficult, although possible, to master. An elderly gentleman once came to Rav Aaron Leib's home in great distress, and he said, when I was young, he began, I supported my children so that they could learn in kollel. I was always proud that I was able to give to them. Now that I am old and very weak, my children come to me daily and spend several hours assisting me with basic necessities. I am depressed when I think back to the days that I was able to give to my children, and I am so distressed that I am on the receiving end. Rav Aaron Leib held the man's hand. The man was crying, and he said, you say that you were healthy, and when you were healthy, you helped your children. And now you are not helping them in your old age. I say just the opposite is true. When you were young and healthy, how did you support your children? With money. While it is certainly a big mitzvah, the money was not yours. Money and livelihood come from Hashem. You simply transferred money from your possession to their possession. But today, You are truly helping your children. You help your children by allowing them to come assist you. You are giving your children the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. Why do you view yourself now as someone who has stopped supporting and stopped helping their children? This is the biggest help and the biggest support you have ever given them in their lives. So kibud av va'em is the central mitzvah. It's the fifth dibra. It's the bridge between the first side, which are the mitzos bein adam lamakom, and the second side, which are the mitzos bein adam lachavero, because as we have already touched upon, it teaches us hakaras hatov and subordination to a higher authority, and that is true both vis-a-vis our relationship with our parents, hakaras hatov, and as our parents, subordination to a higher authority, and vis-a-vis our relationship with the Almighty. There's a very famous individual who is mentioned and spoken about in the Gemara, who exemplifies the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, Lamed Aleph Aleph. I'm trying to make sure everyone's muted, please. Even though I did it already, I had one incident last week where someone wasn't, to my surprise and whatever, caused background noise. Okay, looks like everyone is. Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, Lamed Aleph Aleph. The Gemara cites two examples of how a certain Gentile honored his parents to illustrate how far we must go in honoring our parents. Again, we said honor is machal, umishta, taking them in and out, clothing and shoes, that's kibud horim, whereas yira horim is not to contradict the parent, not to sit in the parent's seat, not to speak in their place, a sense of reverence for our parents as well as honor. So the Gemara tells over as follows. Ba'u mine me Rav Ula. They asked Rav Ula, Ad heichan kibud av va'im. How far does the mitzvah of kibud av va'im extend? Amar lahem, Rav Ula answered them, Tzu'u uru'u. Go out and see, like we say in Nagat, Tzei Ulmad, go out and learn. Rav Ula said, Tzu'u uru'u. Go out and see. Me asu ove kochavim echad ba'ashkelon. There was one idol worshiper who lived in Ashkelon, and go see how far his kibud av va'em went. Vidama ben Nisina Shemo. His name was, and I'm sure that some of you have heard of him, Dama ben Nisina. So when I was preparing for this shiur, I found it very interesting. Just in a shiur last night, I quoted some teachings of Rav Chaim Kanievsky regarding Megillas Esther, the importance of names. So Rav Chaim says in his commentary to the Megillah, Rav Chaim Shlita says, that names have special significance, and the letters of names have special significance. He quotes the Zohar, who says a parent has a measure of Ruach HaKodesh when they name their child. He gives examples. Er, Perek Lamed Chesed Bereishis, was Ra Be'enei Hashem. Er, Ayin Reish, the son of Yehuda, and Ra, Reish Ayin, are the same, because Er did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Another example, Noach Nun Ches. Noach Matzachain Chesnun Bein Hashem. These aren't like, you know, tricks of the Torah. They're not accidents. That Er and Ra are the same letters, and Chain and Noach are the same letters. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out something very, very interesting. It says in the Megillah 8:16 through 8:17. 8:16 is La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yikar and B'chol Malkom Asher Dvar Melech Magia B'chol Medina Medina B'chol Ir Meir Malkom Asher Dvar Melech Magia Simcha V'Sason La Yehudim. And both of these psukim, 8:16 Peraches Pasuk Tazayin, and then Peraches Pasuk Yudzayin, you have the word Simcha and Sason. Rav Chaim points out. Is that my cousin, Chava Bela? Good morning. Wow. I don't know if you're here in the beginning. I dedicated the shir to the Arichos Yamim and Shanim. We're talking about Kibud av va'em. In good health and gesund to my parents and my in-laws. They should live and be well. So Rav Chaim points out that Shushan, it never occurred to me, and Sason are the same letters. He starts with saying Er and Ra, Noach and Chain, Shushan, where it was Vayir Shushan Nevocha, the end of Perek Gimel. Vamelech v'haman yashu lishtos, Vayir Shushan Nevocha. The city of Shushan was perplexed. Vilcha, bocha, they were crying. Shin, vav, shin, nun, but there was v'nahapachu. the letters were switched around, and Shushan, the place of crying and lamentation, became Sason, a place of rejoicing. So I thought it was a beautiful insight I never saw before. I was preparing for a different shiur. So anyway, when I was preparing for this shiur, and I took out the Gemara, it occurred to me that in Dama ben Nisina's name, you have an allusion to the personality of the Kibbutz of Aim that he was. Dama is spelled Dalad Mem Aleph, so Dalad Mem means silent. Okay, Parsha Shmini, we know, David HaMelech says, Ulechadumia Tehila, to you, God, silence is praise. Aaron, sons were taken. And Moshe says, Bekrovaya Kadesh, Zuasher Daver Shur Dibra Hashem, Vayidom Aaron. So Dalad Mem stands for, not stands for, means silence. So when it comes to honoring one's parents, Dama, sometimes a child is required to hold back their tongue. We said that Yerushalayim is not to speak up in your parents' place. So if someone asks your parent a question, you're not allowed to jump up and interject. You're not allowed to speak before them, to be silent. If they have a ratzon and you have a ratzon, I'm not talking about they tell you to be Michal Shabbos, okay? That's a whole different category. You have a ratzon and they have a ratzon. So our ratzon sometimes must be subjugated to their ratzon. It requires silence and acceptance. So the name Dama is Dalad Mem Aleph. The root word there is Dalad Mem, which means silence. And Nesina means to give. So Dama alludes to the Yerushalayim aspect. We must be silent, not to take umbrage for ourselves, but to give to our parents' will. We must be silent not to speak in their place. We must be silent not to sit in their place. And Nesina is the Kibbutz of Aim aspect. We must give them, Rashi says on the Chumash, food and drink. We must give them clothing. We must help them with their shoes. We must escort them in and out. So even in the name Dama ben Nesina, you see these two aspects of what is encapsulated. We have to be silent and are obligated in the mitzvah of Yerushalayim. I must give, we are obligated in the mitzvah of Yerushalayim, I mean Yerhorim, and we must give Kibbutz of Aim. So that's on the name. Let's go with the story. So they came to Rav Ula, and they say, how far should we go in the mitzvah? There's someone posted something already. I'm sorry. In the days before Mask, Lavan versus Naval. Very nice. And someone shared with me, someone from Israel, because you said brought up Lavan, so it made me think of Besuel. Someone from Israel, who apparently listens to my shiurim online, reached out to me, and she told me, I don't remember her name, sorry, submission through my website email, Besuel, he would take virgins and violate them. So it's from the word Besula, which I never knew before. Did anyone know that? The Besula's name, she has written a book about women in Tanakh. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. Because I wasn't planning to say it till you said Lavan versus Naval. Like to be a Naval is degenerate. So Lavan was a degenerate. Besuel is from the word father of virgins, like Besula, because Besuel was also himself not the most fine upstanding person, and he would take advantage of virgin women. I thought that was very interesting. So let's go. So Dama ben Nesima, Pam Achas Bikshu Chachamim, Park Matya. One time, the sages, the Chachamim, wanted to buy merchandise from Dama ben Nesina. By the way, no one was smiling with Dama Nesina. You don't think it's unbelievable? Yeah, it's amazing. Maybe I can't see you smiling because of the masks. It's amazing. Pam Achas Bikshu Chachamim Park Matya. One time, the sages wanted to buy merchandise from Dama ben Nesina. Bishishim Riboschar. They wanted to pay an exorbitant fee of 600,000 gold dinars. Vahaya Mafteach Munach. But the key to where this merchandise lay was laying Tachas Merosh Asav Shel Aviv. It was under the head of his father. Vilot Siaro. He didn't want to cause his father tsar. He didn't want to wake him up. So Dama ben Nesima gave up the sale. They wanted to buy the merchandise for 600,000 gold dinars, but the mafteach was laying under the head of his father. He can't. More detailed version of the incident continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, Shalu es Rabbi Eliezer. So that was the story according to Rav Ula. Then they came to Rabbi Eliezer and they asked him, Ad heichon kibur aveim. How far do you have to go in this mitzvah of honoring thy father and mother? Amar lahem, Rabbi Eliezer said, Tzu'u ru'u ma'asa ovek kachave mechad la'aviv ba'ashkelon. Go see what one idol worshiper did for his father in Ashkelon. V'dama ben Nesima Shemo. We already expanded upon his name. Dama ben Nesima was his name. I think it's significant that the Gemara says Dama ben Nisina Shemo. It could have just said, I think the Gemara is alluding to the fact that you have to focus on the name. The Gemara could have just said, Rav Ula and Rabbi Yezer could have said, go see what Dama ben Nisina did in Ashkelon. First it says, go see what the idol worshiper did in Ashkelon. And the Gemara makes a point of saying, Dama ben Nisina Shemo. In other words, expound upon the Dama ben Nisina as well. Bikshu chachamim menu avanim la'ifod. Now the first, Rav Ula says they wanted to buy merchandise. What merchandise did they actually want to buy? Says Rabbi Eliezer, we're coming up to Truma, Tetzava, Kitisa, Vayakob, Pukudei, Venedavas, Hamishkan, and the Binyan Hamishkan. They wanted to buy stones for the ephod, the apron of the Kohen Gadol, and the Shohem stones, the filling stones, and the breastplate stones they wanted to buy. He was in possession of these fabulous stones, and the Chachamim wanted to buy stones for the Big Day Kuhuna. Bishishim Rubui Schar. They wanted to pay 600,000 gold dinars. The Rav Kahana Masne, but Rav Kahana says no. Bishmonim Rubo. They wanted to pay 800,000 gold dinars for the stones for the Big Day Kuhuna. However, Vahayam Afteach Munach, Tachas Meirosha Savshal Aviv. The key was laying. You know, maybe he could go back to sleep. It's not a big deal. Should I really give up 800,000 gold dinars? I just need to get out the key. Maybe my father won't even wake up at all. And the key was laying under the head of his father. Velotzi aro. And he did not aggravate. He did not wake up. He did not cause pain to his father. Lashana ha'acheres. How was he rewarded? Dama ben Nesimna. And the next year, again, this is Kedush and Lamed Aleph Aleph. Nasana kodesh baruch hu scharo. Almighty gave him his reward. How so? Shernodolo para aduma be'edro. In his flock, a para aduma was born to him. And the art scroll footnotes notes. The art scroll footnote notes, since such cows, para aduma, completely rad, parshas chukas, we're coming up to parshas para actually, parshas chukas, and completely rad, can't have more than two black hairs. Since such cows were very rare, the community was prepared to pay a great sum of money when a red heifer, a para aduma, was born. So, Nasan HaKosh Baruch Hu Scharo. The next year, God gave him his reward for not waking up his father. How so? A para aduma was born in his flock. Nichnusu Chachame Yisrael Etzo. When they heard that a para aduma was born, it's interesting that both years, what the sages wanted, Dama ben Nesimah had such a schus. It wasn't just that they wanted to buy something from him. They wanted to buy things that relate to, both items relate to Malachas HaMishkan slash Mikdash. At this point, it wasn't the Mishkan anymore. But the Avanim for the Ephod were used for the Kohen Gadol's service as he served in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Paraduma was also used by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So see how great the Schar is of Kibur Avaim, Dom, to be silent in the face of your parents' request, Yirashmayim, and Nesina, to give to your parents, Kibur Horim, that he was had this tremendous Schar, that when it came to items for the Beis HaMikdash, Vasuli Mikdash, Vashachanti B'Sochem, Dama ben Nesina was the catalyst for this. So Nichnisu Chachamim Yisrael Etzlo, the Chachamim came to him. Amar Lahem. Dama ben Nesina came to the Chachamim. They obviously came, they want to buy his cow. Yodea ani b'chem, she'im ani mivakesh mikem, kol mamon sheba'olam. Bilam wanted all the money in the world. Dama ben Nesina said, I know this cow is very important to you. And I know I can ask from you all the money in the world. And I know atem nosnin li. You will give me whatever I ask. Ella, no, I'm not going to do that. Ein ani mivakesh mikem ella oso mamon. I only ask the money that I lost, that money shehifsadeti bishvil kibur abba. The money that I gave up because I didn't wake up my father when the mafteach was under his head is the payment that I asked for the paraduma, not more, not less. The Gemara comments on this incident. The Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina says, Uma mi she'ena metzuva va'osa kach. And now if it comes to someone who is not a metzuva va'osa, he's not commanded to do. Dama ben Nesina was, like the Gemara says, an ovei kochavim. He was an idol worshiper. And yet the Gemara says, look how great his kibbut of aim is. We were metzuva. We must be metzuva va'osa. When were we mitzuva? We went through the first four dibros, and then we came to kabeiret avicha ve'etimecha. You shall honor your father and your mother. We explained very in brief the halachic avaga echas parameters of this mitzvah. Leman ya'arichun yamecha. We are mitzuva. We must make sure we are mitzuva ve'osa. Uma, says the Gemara, Misha ain't a metzuva v'osakach. And now, someone who is not commanded but does, the Ribbono Shel Olam pays him back with such great reward. Metzuva v'osah, he who is commanded in the mitzvah of kibud avim and does kibud avim, al achas kama v'kama. How much more so, how much greater will the reward be if this is the reward to one who is not metzuva? Yet he is an osah. How much greater will be the reward to one who is metzuva and is osa? Da amar Rabbi Chanina, like Rabbi Chanina says, gadol mitzuva v'osa. I'm sure we all know this mamar Chazal. Here it is in Kedushin 31a. Gadol mitzuva v'osa, mimi she'ena mitzuva v'osa. Who do we learn this from? Damat ben Nesina. If he got such a reward, they came to for the stones of the breastplate. They were willing to pay 600,000 gold dinars. Some say it was 800,000 gold dinars. The next year, God granted him a paraduma. And he got the money that he gave up because the mafteach was under his father's head. He didn't want to cause his father tzar, dama, to be silent, nesina, to give. So how much more so will we be rewarded? Misha mitzuva v'osa. That is the fifth dibra. So I know this class, I always try and bring a teaching of Rav Soloveitchik, because the title of the series is Torah Insights and Lessons from Masorat HaRav. So today I'm not doing that, but I'm quoting from a student of Rav Soloveitchik, a very prominent, renowned student of Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron al-Vracha, who was just nifter this fall. This is, I'm quoting from a Sefer Drashot L'Dorot, a commentary for the ages Exodus. It's really funny how Hashem does things. I've had Rav Lam's farm on my bookshelf for many, many years. I think my father, he should live and be well, is the one who probably bought them for me at the YU book sale, yeah, Yeshiva University. And I never really, peruse? Yeah. I was just learning something this morning about pursue. Where was I? What text was to pursue? I don't remember in what context I was learning about it. There was one sefer of Rabbi Lam I always learned from, Festivals of Faith. If you don't have it, highly recommend it. But after his patira, I started to take out his svarim more, and they're beautiful. So today we're quoting from a Talmud, a very prominent Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. And the Torah of the Talmud is like the Torah of the Rabbi. This drasha was given on February 7th, 1953. The strange fate of the fifth commandment. I just thought of something else. You could also say the fifth commandment, the placement of the fact that it's fifth is very significant. I'm going to be basing what I'm about to say on the Baal Turim. The Baal Turim says in this week's parsha, Zachar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho, Shemos 20, verse 8, Perek Chaf Pasuches, Zachar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho. The Baal Turim points out that word, it begins with a Zion, says the Baal Turim, because Shabbos is on the seventh day. And it has five words in it, Zachar es kum ha-shabbos l'kadosho, because someone who keeps Shabbos is considered like he kept the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. You could go look up the Baal Turim, that's what he says. So the placement of the Dibros is also very significant. So perhaps you could say the fact that Kabeid v'asavicha v'asimecha is the fifth Dibra, based on the Baal Turim, is significant to teach you that someone who is mechabit his father and mother properly, and Mora Shemayim properly, it's as if he is Kiyam Kol Torah Kulo. Chamisha Chumshei Torah, encapsulated in the fact that the fifth Dibra is Kabeidus Avicha Vasimecha, connected to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Like the Baal Turim says, by Zachar Sem Meshavas Akacho, five words, because whoever keeps Shabbos is Kiyam Kol Torah Kulo. The strange fate of the fifth commandment. Standing fifth, writes Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. Well, it was actually said, it wasn't written, it was a drasha. I think he wrote it first, maybe wrote. Standing fifth in the list of the Ten Commandments is the statement, Kabeidas avicha v'asimecha, honor thy father and thy mother. This commandment is perhaps the most well-known of all. No child grows up without hearing these words brandished at him at one time or another. You know, no matter what a person's age, perused, thank you. Am I saying it properly, perused? I'm not saying it properly. Okay, fine, I'll look it up after. Lee Nader. No matter what age a person is, they are always mechabed, they are always chayv in the mitzvah. No one grows up, and in fact, Parshas Veschanan, a couple of years ago, I taught an in-depth class on Kibbutz Avim. Veschanan is when the Seres HaDibros are repeated. And even after the parents' patira, our parents should all live in Me'ev Asim Shana, the child is still chayiv in Kibbutz Avim. So nobody's exempt, b'kitzar, from this mitzvah. You obviously can't give your parents food and drink in the same fashion. No child grows up without hearing these words brandished at him at one time or another. Even those who believe in little else accept this mitzvah. And the rabbis in Maseches Kedushin, we were on Lamed Aleph, but the rabbis in Maseches Kedushin, Lamed, Amed Beis, equate the honor of parents with the honor of God. That's how we started off, based on Rav Steinman. Hakaras HaTov to our parents, and learning subordination teaches us Hakaras HaTov to God and subordination to the will of God. And yet, the fate of this fifth commandment has been a strange one. The history of this commandment has been one of oscillation, of shifting to one extreme, from one extreme to another. In ancient Sodom, the hotbed of wickedness, the elderly and the needy, including the aged parents, were regarded as surplus. And when they were no longer able to work, they were disposed of. Rahman al-Islam today in society, they are proposing bills to disconnect people from life support, to get rid of people when we don't need them anymore. In Sodom, the elderly, including aged parents, when they were no longer considered useful, were considered surplus, and they were gotten rid of. A world reeking with such an attitude had to hear and obey Kabeira Savicha Vesmecha. Centuries later, the situation was reversed. Parents became so important that children were neglected and maltreated. This is not something that in our day and age we are familiar with. So much so that the rabbinic council at Usha, some 1,800 years ago, had to pass, this is brought in Maseches Ksubos 49b, I didn't look up the Gemara inside, had to pass a formal law requiring parents to support their children until they were at least 13 years old. The rabbis had to pass a formal law mandating that parents support their children, because in Saddam, parents were disposed of, and somehow it came to be that centuries later, children were considered not so important. And he gives more examples. Coming closer to our time, we have a similar swinging of the pendulum from one extreme to another in the Victorian era. The father was the absolute, the autocratic chief of the family. He was a ruthless dictator whose rule was uncontrolled and frequently inhumane. In our own days, where are we? I'm not talking about necessarily the people in this room or the people on Zoom, but in society in general, we have gone to the other extreme. A new force has emerged in modern family life, replacing the parents as the central authority of the family. The child had come into its own as the undisputed despot and a pint-sized tyrant whose word is the law, whose every whim and every wish is sacrosanct. I'm probably saying that wrong also. His every whim and every wish is the absolute law in the home, the child, and whose authority rests on new books on child psychology, how to raise your baby without conflict, complexes, neuroses, or maladjustment. Rabbi Dr. Lamb says that through the millennia, this mitzvah has swung on a pendulum. Sometimes, like in Sodom, parents were disregarded, and they were seen as extra shadow once they became old. Let's get rid of them. And then sometimes, children were seen. I can't exactly relate to such a matzav, but the rabbis need to institute a law that children had to be taken care of at least till the age of 13. In the Victorian era, the father was an absolute dictator, a despot. He ruled the house. In modern times, the children, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, rule the house, not the parents. Raised with this mistaken attitude of deference and cringing on the part of the parents, the modern child will never really learn to respect It's elders. If we live in a society where children are always immediately granted whatever they demand, whatever they want, how does the child learn Dhamma, to be silent, Dalet Mem, in the face of the parents' request, and Sina, to give to the parents? It's a big question. And our generation, now again, this was said in 1953, almost 70 years ago. And yeah, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb said, in our generation, therefore, we must hear as never before the clear enunciations of the words of the fifth commandment, Kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha. But the honoring of the parents, continues Rabbi Dr. Lamb, is not merely a mechanical act. Should it just be by row? Okay, you know, sir, can you bring water? Could you bring this mechanical act? No. It must be more than that. Just like we must have Hakaras Hatov to Ribono Sholom, which should exude from a place of love for all that we have, so too we should honor our parents not merely mechanically, but because we want to give to those who have given so much to us. You know, today they're probably robots who could serve your parents. But the honoring of parents is no mere mechanical act. Far from being automatic and desiccated, it has a psychology of its own, which is based on the moral tradition of Judaism. And it rejects at one and the same time, we reject, our religion rejects, our Torah rejects, both the harshness and the severity of the Victorian father. We reject that. The father should not be the tyrant and the despot in the home. But we also reject the cruelty of the Saddam attitude, where we dispose of elderly parents when we no longer consider them useful beings. And we also reject the silly and ludicrous coddling of children, as practiced by so many modern parents who read psychology books and yet do not begin to understand them. To the modern parent who, frightened by the dire threat of complexes the child might develop and maladjustments, to the modern parent who asks why and what does it mean of kibud av v'aim, Judaism has the answer. And now he's going to refer us with a brilliant, listen carefully, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb has a brilliant pshat and chiddush into the story of Dhamma ben Nisina. Perhaps it is the Jewish attitude, which is not for Jews alone, but for all people, best expressed, albeit indirectly and subtly, by a story a rabbi's telling the Talmud, parentheses, Kedushin 31a, we already did it inside in the Lashon of Gemara with some insights of our own. Rabbi Eliezer was asked, to what extent must one practice the commandment of honor thy father and their mother? And he answered, hearken to the story of what one Gentile who lived in the city of Ashkelon did for his father. The man, Dhamma ben Nisina, owned rare gems that were needed by the officials of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem for the blessed breastplate of the high priest. The jewels were needed immediately, for without him and the stones, temple service could not continue. Dhamma was told to name his price, if only he delivered the stones without delay. Again, I'm quoting Rabbi Dr. Lamb, who fills in some more details, tells us the narrative that we already saw in the Gemara. But Dhamma refused, because the key to the safe where the stones were kept was under the pillow of his father, who was sleeping at that time. Dhamma did not want to awaken his father. Even the fact that the father is sleeping and Dom means silence is amazing. The father is sleeping. His name is Dhamma, Dom. When the father sleeps, we must be silent. Dhamma was offered an astounding sum, 60,000, 80,000 golden dinars. He refused to disturb his father. As a reward for his respect and honor, God rewarded Dhamma. In the following year, a para aduma was born to his herd, a completely red heifer, which was an expensive rarity, which was used by Jews to purify the unclean. Listen carefully. He's going to weave the whole story together. A para aduma was born to him, an expensive rarity. The para aduma is used. Again, we're coming up to Parshas Para very soon. After Shkalim, Zachar, Para HaChodesh. A completely red heifer, which was an expensive rarity. It was used by Jews to purify the unclean who were defiled. So before we go to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's pshat of this story, let's look at the Lashon once more. They come to him and they offer him a lot of money. By the way, the art school translation is 600,000 gold dinars. Rabbi Lamb says 60,000. So in both cases, I read the English of, I read the art school, Gemara Shishim Ribo Sachar, 600,000 gold dinars. So I'm not sure why the story there says 60,000, but that's a nakuda that we don't need to debate right now. But listen to the Lashon. Vahaya mafteach munach tachas mevosho sav shel aviv. Listen carefully. Vahaya mafteach munach tachas mevosho sav shel aviv. The key was resting under the head of his father. What was his reward? A red heifer. What is a red heifer used for? Tahara. To come closer to God. One who is impure, who tumas meis, who wants to come back to the environment and the vicinity, is a better word, of the Mishkan / Mikdash, must be mitaher with these ashes. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says, what Rabbi Eliezer meant to teach by this story is clear enough. If you live a life characterized by the para aduma, if you live a life of purity, decency, serenity, if you live a life of tahara, which means free from defilement, free from filth, and all the aspects of death, the paraduma is cleansing from death. A person can be alive and spiritually dead. If we want to be alive while we're living, if we want to be pure while we're living, if we want to be cleansed while we're living, if we want a life in which the family unit is whole and complete, tahar. If we want an undiminished and undamaged reputation, the child must remember the key to success lies under the head of the father. If you want to know how to be pure in life, how to come close to God, you want to come into the mikdash of Hashem, you needed the paraduma ashes to come to mikdash. You want to develop a relationship with God? You want to be sanctified? You want to be pure and undefiled? The key lies under the head of your parents. Quote, no matter how successful one is, no matter how thriving the jewelry trade, no matter how prosperous the farm, no matter how many cattle ranch you have, and today put in whatever profession, no matter how many stocks, how many cars, how many vacation homes? The key to your success, the mafteach to your personality, the key to your life, and the key to your future is under the head of your parents. The mafteach to tahara lies under the head of your parents. It is the parent who is the source of your future. Man, unlike animals, is not born self-sufficient. Okay? Even though you have some animals that stay with their mothers, it's for a short time generally in the animal kingdom. Short time. Elephants stay in the family. Even the seal, the mother nurses them for 3 weeks. The Arctic seal nurses them for 3 weeks. Very milk that's very, very rich and fat and rich and in fat and protein, nutrients, and then the mother leaves. The mother lays the eggs of the turtle on the same beach where she was born. She digs them under the sand and she goes into the water. And when those eggs hatch and crabs come and turtles come, not turtles, and other animals come and they pick off the baby turtles, the parents aren't there. Not so us. Man, unlike other animals, is not born self-sufficient. In our infancy, we are extremely vulnerable. We are defenseless. in the heads of his parents, of the head of the parent, the Rosh Otav, shall Aviv, the Imo, are agonies of worry and concern over the child's care. And it is upon their heads that responsibility for the future lies. You want to know where the mafteach for your success is? Whoo! Tachas Merosh Osav Shal Aviv. What a brilliant pshat of this Gemara. The key to the children lies under the head of the parents. With an attitude of that sort, a generation can be raised that will not be looked upon with horror by the older, and the term younger generation will not be uttered with frightened contempt. A generation that understands the key to success lies under the head of the parent can be raised and not obsessed with its own importance and not possessed with everything old. We will not condemn the treasures of the past as old-fashioned if we recognize that the mafteach of all of our wealth, the mafteach of precious gems, which represents closeness to God, lies under the head of our parents. And Judaism, therefore, tells us moderns that the reason for honoring parents is simply that they are the key to our lives and the key to our future. I'm going to skip a little. A generation which is not taught that the key to the future lies in their parents' past, a generation which is not taught that the mafteach is under Merosh Osav Shel Aviv, can never hope to unlock the treasury of goodwill and humility that is stored in the human heart. How will we unlock the treasures of the past? How will we unlock the Mesorah of Judaism? How will we unlock the potential within our very own selves if we don't know that the key is under the head of our parents? And this is certainly one way that for those whose parents are on the Olam HaEmes, can continue to honor their parents by recognizing that everything that they gave you in life is the key to how you shall live, how you shall do. Like we finished with the Gemara in the passage we're learning. They continue to teach you. If only you recognize where the key lies. When honoring parents truly is a mitzvah we do from day one to day 120 years. Furthermore, the Gemara tells another story, which I did not look up. I'm just going to quote from Rabbi Lam. Once Rabbi Dimi told over the following story. Dama, the same Dama, apparently. Even though it says Dama, it doesn't say Dama ben Netina, but it's a story about Kibbutz of Aim and Dama. Dama was wearing a gold hat, Sirkon shel Zahav, and he was sitting amongst the officials of Rome, Yoshi ben Gedolei Romi. The first story was about Dama's father in the key. This story is about Dama's mother. And his mother came, and she tore off the hat. Listen carefully. Dama was sitting with a golden hat, Sirkon shel Zahav. He was sitting, Yoshev ben Gedolei Romi. He had riches, he had prominence. His mother came, she tore off the hat. She hit him on the head. She spat at him, but he did not shame her. Maybe that's why the name is only given as Dama, because he was silent. Dama's mother was a good mother. Certainly she knew teaching her son Kibbutz of Aim was the only way of molding his character and his personality. What does this story teach us? Here was her son, a golden hat, fashionable. Here was her son keeping with the elite. If all the world was involved in a mad drive for gold, Dama thought, well, I too will be involved in a mad drive for gold. If the almighty dollar must replace the almighty God and monotheism becomes money theism, then I too will don the cloak of gold. A modern mother may have shept nachas from her son, the go-getter, but not his mother, She tore off the hat of gold. "No son of mine will live this life," said his mother. "You are going to come off from the gold standard. Monotheism shall never be replaced with money theism, and the almighty dollar should never be replaced with the almighty gold." I'm currently reading. I've mentioned it in so many shirim. So I see I need to go a little bit over. My necham is that I know Rabbi Shai Shachter on Tuesday morning, these shirim, when we arrange them in the fall, we're supposed to be 45 minutes. And I see him why he Torah, he often goes over. So yesh al mi lismoch. If you have to leave, you could catch the end online, Be'ezrat Hashem. I'm reading a book right now called, I love it, I'm recommending it many shiurim. It's by Rabbi Amos Bunim. It's called A Fire in His Soul, the biography of Irving Bunim. I'm almost at the end. It's amazing. But he tells of how far American Jewry had fallen from Yiddishkeit. And this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. He would tell the story of how one man asked the rabbi, in the aftermath of his father's death, could he hire someone to sit shiva for him? And then he came to the rabbi with a halachic question: do I have to go be Menachem Avil, the person sitting shiva for my father? The gold hat represents the almighty dollar, who Rachmana Litzlan often replaces the almighty God. And that monotheism becomes replaced with money theism. There was a time in Jewish life, says Rabbi Dr. Lamb, when a mother's greatest ambition was that her son should be a Torah scholar. The very lullabies that mothers would sing to tots in their cradles were not of business and not of success, but Torah and scholarship. In the famous lullaby, Rosenkiss und Mandlin, Rosenkiss und Mandlin. Yeah, oh, okay. So I might not say peruse properly, but that I got. The mother would sing, Torah is thy bestest chora. Torah is the best business. Modern mothers, however, are afraid. The little tyrant who today demands the best bicycle will tomorrow demand the Cadillac, again 1953, and Hollywood kitchens. But if a mother and father want respect, honor, and love, yira, kibud, and ahava, they must from time to time tear the sirkon shel zahav, the golden crown, off of their child, and instead replace it with the spiritual dimension the child will need. Here is Dama ben Netina, yeah, it was the same Dama, who was climbing the great social ladder. Not only was he wearing a golden crown, he was sitting in the company of the great Romans. A modern mother might have envied the mother of Dama ben Netina, but no, not his mother. She would not allow herself to adopt a cringing attitude of this sort. She knew that Romans were not do-gooders, and authority was known through the world. They were degenerate. They went after lust, murder, degradation, and perversion. So she ripped off the golden crown, symbolizing that our pursuit in life is not keeping up with the Joneses, where money becomes the end-all and be-all. Rather, spirituality is our purpose here. And she was not impressed that he was sitting with the Yoshvei Gedolei Romi, because that is a false sense of success that will not bring us satisfaction in life. And so she expressed her disdain by ripping off the hat and hitting him for this Sirkon Shel Zahav and the Gedolei Romi. She expressed her disdain for money madness and social climbing. And as a result, Dama did not insult his mother, because he had been educated by his brave and intelligent mother. I'm skipping. I'm going to finish up. Parents must not expect that children blossom into respectful adulthood in a natural and undirected way. Parents should not expect that children will blossom and mature into adulthood in a natural and undirected way. No beautiful flower ever grew into full blossom without conscientious cultivation. The only plant that grows naturally without devoted guidance is a weed. Thus, the fifth commandment has a strange fate indeed. From era to era, the history of family life has seen a shift from despotism of parents to tyranny of children. Neither way is the Torah way. Our Torah and our sages have always urged the middle path, which is the way of intelligence, honor, and respect. The way of Torah is the way of life which must prevail if parents and children are bound up by mutual bonds of honor, esteem, and love. And he finishes by quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, "For her ways are the ways of pleasantness." The fifth commandment, perhaps it's fifth because it's connected to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, like the Baal Torah says, the Shabbos, five words, is the bridge from the first side to the second side. From mitzvos ben Adam l'makam, anochi, lo yia, lo tisa, Shabbos. From mitzvos ben Adam l'chaver, lo tirtach, lo tinach, lo tinog, lo sanana, lo tachmar. It reminds us of the importance of Hakaras HaTov and subordinating our will to their will. If the reward to Dama ben Nesima was so great, says the Gemara, how much more so to he who is Mitzuvah v'osa? What does it mean that the Mafteach Munach Tachas Meirosh Osav Shel Aviv? It's not Stam telling you that the physical key to the chest with the stones was under the head of his father. It's telling us that our whole lives, our whole Mesorah, our past, present, and future, the key is in the hands of our parents. And if we want to live a life symbolized by the Paraduma, a life of purity, a life of closeness to God, a life of Kedusha and Tahara, you must recognize where the key lays. And if we go chasing after money with a golden crown and sitting with the Gedolei Romi, our parents might just come and smack us across the face, reminding us, this is not how I raised you. This is not our goal in life. And only with mutual respect between parents and children and the understanding of where the key to our future as an individual and as a nation lies, will we be truly v'atem tiyuli memlechas kohanim v'gai kadosh al avicha v'yagercha z'keinecha v'yom rulach. May the shir be as chos for my parents shlita and my in-law shlita sheyichu lamim tovim v'aruchim v'arichos yamim and shanim in good health and nachas from their families. I thank you for learning with me, and I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much to all.